Hello, welcome back to the show. I have an interview for you today that is going to be super helpful and really important if you're in a type of business where you get on the phone with potential clients. I know this is something that we do in our agency business, and although it's not something that I do in my coaching business, for many of my clients, there is a process where they're often getting on the phone before the client decides to work with them. And if you've ever done a call like that, you know that what you say or what you don't say or how you feel in that call can really dictate the outcome and whether or not that person decides to become a client of yours. And so I'm interviewing Celia Faye Mizell, and she is a sales growth consultant. So essentially, her whole business is helping people get better at these interactions. And she works with a lot of 6 and 7 figure coaches who are doing sales calls or who have a sales team. And she comes in as a consultant. She has a proprietary method called the MORE method that helps them to get more money, more sales with ease, more simplicity, more freedom, more growth in their business. And her clients have generated over 12.6 million in high-end program sales over the last few years. So she's got lots of wisdom in this topic, and you're going to love this interview. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Joyous Path to Millions podcast with me, your host, Emily June Wilcox. Serial entrepreneur, 7-figure business owner, mindset junkie, creator of the Money Wound Medicine program, devoted mama of two, and lover of coffee and crystals. My mission is to put more money in the hands of soulpreneurs through healing money wounds, building abundant businesses, and balancing masculine and feminine energy. When we do this, we collectively uplevel the frequency of the planet and help usher in new paradigm wealth. Each week, a new episode will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and guest interviews where we'll dive into honest money conversations and the behind-the-scenes truth of building our aligned fempires. We all deserve a healthy, empowered relationship with money so we can experience more freedom, pleasure, and joy on our joyous path to millions. So get ready and let's dive in. Celia, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're here.
I am so excited to be here.
All right. I can't wait to dive into all things entrepreneurship and money because you have generated over 12.6 million in high-end program sales just in the last few years. So it's always fun when I'm talking to someone who has just seen so much money flow through different hands and businesses. And I think if I remember correctly, you kind of stumbled into this work. Is that right?
Yeah, it found me. There's a good story behind it we can talk about. But yeah, I was not, when I was born, I never thought that I would be a woman in sales and be doing what I'm doing in my life.
Did you have negative connotations about sales?
No, I'm a career entrepreneur, and I didn't really even know like what sales was, that it was really a thing until I got into the online space and realized, oh, like I'm actually really good at this and it just comes naturally to me.
Interesting. So how did you find out that you were good at it?
Well, I mean, getting into coaching programs, I think, and starting to learn about conversations and follow-up and, you know, just different like mechanisms of doing sales and selling offers and things like that. And I thought, well, actually, I naturally follow up. Like I'm always just, you know, and I naturally have conversations with people and know how to talk to them in a way that has them say yes and to having aligned offers and things like that. So it just was one of those things is as I started to learn the mechanics of it, I was able to see, oh, like I actually already do this naturally and had already built a business without any business coaching, just learning from like, you know, my resources that I had in my immediate area. I had a music business. And so my mom was really good at business. My great grandma was good at business. My sister had a little business. And so like, I just knew things about from watching other women, but it was more just like, I need to make money. I need to pay my bills and I'm stubborn. I don't want to go get a job after grad school. So That's kind of how that unfolded.
Interesting. So wait, was the music business was yours or it was a family
business?
Yeah,
it was my business. Yeah, I had a music studio. I grew up to 35 students. I also freelanced and performed, and I maxed out at like working 7 days a week. I could not possibly add any more hours, and my cap was like 4K a month. And I was like, this is not going to sustain me to the level of, you know, lifestyle and things that I want out of my life.
Right.
So yeah, that's where that landed.
So then you thought, let me start a different kind of business that's more scalable, an online business. And
yeah,
what was it also music related?
So that's not quite how it went down. Okay. It was that I had a health crisis. So I completely burned out. My health crashed. I was 33. And right at the time that my husband and I were going to start having a family and we were talking about having kids, and my body just shut down. I got super sick. I got super depleted. And I started to really look at my life like, oh my gosh, because I knew I'm the creator of my reality. What the heck is going on? And so I really started to look at my life and see that my career and, you know, working 7 days a week, you know how like you'll have your Facebook reminders and it'll say, you know, 2 years ago at this time, well, 11 or 12 years ago on those reminders, it'll say, this is my first day off in, you know, 3 months. And I feel so guilty for relaxing on the couch. So that's the kind of churn and burn grind lifestyle I had. So I started to look at what can I do differently? What are my options? And so I wanted to utilize my musical gifts. And so I found myself doing sound healing. And so I got certified as a sound healer. I got the crystal bowls. I started a practice and got my first business coach. And so that was sort of that trajectory. And then that eventually morphed into actually me doing coaching, life purpose coaching, into business coaching. And here we are today, years later, as a sales expert.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Yeah, because even with sound healing, that's still traditionally an in-person business for the most part.
It is. But I had a business coach that I had a woman, there was a local yoga studio, and they were a part of my journey, my healing journey. And so they knew I was getting into the sound healing. And so the studio owner introduced me to a business coach that did online marketing. And so she helped me set up my first website. It was called Celia Sound. That was in 2014. We started recording like online MP3s. We did a lead magnet. So she got me set up online. I got my first client, I think was like early 2015 through a Facebook group. She was in France, and I thought I had like really made it doing my, you know, having an international client doing sound healing. So I was able to take it online pretty quickly.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then through the business programs, as they were, you know, teaching people how to sell, you're like, oh, turns out I'm good at this. And so what was the impetus then for kind of going all in on sales?
So it was actually a human design coaching program that I did in 2017. There was a woman that I had known, because I was all into the woo, that it was sound healing, Akashic Records. I get certified. So I was like doing soul readings, and then human design was a part of that. And so I had a human design business coach who specialized in this form of human design for business that was like really early and innovative, you know, the whole 6 years ago. It wasn't as mainstream as it is now. It was growing. But anyway, they, in my readings of my chart and everything, they uncovered, you know, you really have the sales channel. And you have the gate. And so in doing all of that and starting to understand myself more through that lens, I said, well, actually I do. So it took about a year for me, because if you've done human design, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are into it. It's not a like, oh, I get it. It's not a mental logical. There's like this embodiment part of it, of transformation. And so within a year, I had found a new trainer and I started to learn different sales mechanisms. And then 2 years later, I aligned with like a really high level sales mentor that I was with for many years, and actually like got recruited to run sales teams with her. So that was how that evolved. So I just kind of like, it was like, ooh, you know, here, change the path, change the trajectory, and go align with mentors that are going to help me get you know, to those next levels.
Right. And are you a generator or?
Emotional generator. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So that also tracks. It's like the opening inviting aura and opportunities will just come to you and then you get to say yes or no. So
yeah, exactly.
That's so cool. And so talk about what you do now.
Yeah. So I am a sales growth consultant. And so I have my own practice. And what I do is I work with multi six and seven figure business owners in two ways. Three ways. One is founders that are still doing their sales and they want to improve their conversion rates. They want to have better sales conversations. They want to have like a more smooth and streamlined sales department so they can eventually step out of that sales role and bring on a sales team. I also have clients that already have sales teams and I'll come in and audit and do leadership work with them on how they can, work with their operations, sales, CEO leadership to just make a more cohesive experience and also help with increasing conversion. And then I also have expertise on the conversion event side. And so I could do done for you sales teams or also like coaching and advisory for offer owners that have conversion events, both virtual and in person.
Gotcha.
So yeah, those are the different areas.
I love that. And is it primarily phone sales or I feel like I've seen a big shift in the industry towards, you know, selling in the DMs. Over the last couple of years, have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, I don't do much with social selling. So it's still more, we may use social selling to like help set up and get the conversation going. But my clients generally have, 10K plus offers that require a conversation. So it's definitely more of the phone, Zoom selling, those types of sales environments.
Gotcha. That's interesting. What's your take on, I've seen quite a few coaches in the last few years where they don't get on sales calls at all, and yet they're selling, five and six figure offers. I'm curious if you, as a sales expert, have any take on that as a mechanism and any trends that you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so my clients generally are more not in like the DM type realm, but what I do know is that, coaches and offer owners that are doing that, there's tends to be a lot of workshops, very, very high touch, engaged communities where the people are pre-sold and it's just like, hey, I have three questions, let's go. And let's get them over. So I think that it's great. I mean, I think that the internet, Instagram, Facebook, I mean, it's created these whole worlds where we can have these businesses, especially as women, really expressing ourselves, spiritual gifts and doing what we love and creating amazing opportunities for and learning environments and experiences for clients to come over and, and purchase. I mean, I know there's like eight-figure business owners that have, no sales calls, no sales teams whatsoever. Right. But there are a lot of masterclasses, a lot of workshops, a lot of very, very high engaged communities that go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I see too, is that, if you're not doing the sales call, you're just warming them up and doing know, like, and trust through lots of other different mechanisms.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like in your own money mindset journey, what did that look like to go from capping out at 4K a month to, starting your own business, which usually is like zero or close to it. It's like you're working harder than ever, but the money takes a minute to start coming in, to where you're at now. Like, were there any limiting beliefs that you had to shift?
Oh my gosh, so many. So many. I mean, I think about the journey, because the way that my journey worked was that I used one business to fund the next business. Mm-hmm. So like I merged like from this music business and the sound healing, like I was able to use the music business to like hire my first VA and hire my coach and get that going. And so every business funded the next level, which I was super blessed to be able to do that. And I would say, there were so many things. But definitely when I got into high ticket, because I got into that pretty quickly. Like my first, really my first high ticket business coach, she was my second coach. My first package I sold was actually 12K, and it was like, whoa. And I just did it without thinking about it. I just was like, I'm just going for it. I just had that new energy. And I think as time went on and I started to see like the ebbs and flows of my business and how I would have like, oh my gosh, I would have a great month. And then maybe things would slow down. That's really where those limiting beliefs and those patterns started to unfold. I think for sure that like, you know, the working hard to make money, going from like an hourly trading time for dollars kind of thing is with my music studio to coaching was so different. So those are a couple things, but if you want to ask some more specific questions, we can probably dig into some of those beliefs.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like you started seeing more money being transacted, but essentially for other people. Did you have any worthiness stuff come up around your own ability to charge higher rates, like five-figure packages?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that even like with my current business, so when I moved from a coaching to a consulting model, that was like a massive shift for me from doing more just – It's hard to explain, but just doing more like the group programs and things like that to going into more of like, I'm really going deep into my clients' businesses and essentially doubling, tripling my rates. And that's just been a process that has happened in like the last 15 months where I found a new mentor. That's been a massive shift for me. And it's been more about, I would say for sure, worthiness. But also like that, like, can I really deliver this? Like, am I real? Like, so it's been more kind of like imposter syndrome, I think, has come up. Mm-hmm. But when I really meditated on it and it became so clear to me that the imposter syndrome wasn't imposter syndrome. It was like almost my resistance to like fully step in to this new level and embody and then allow all of the new information and the new insight and the new guidance to come through so I could like fully like be that new Celia.
I love that. What was money like in your family growing up?
Oh my gosh. It was not a good situation at all. Like recently my sister, she's 8 years older than me. And so when I was like really little, like my parents had a lot of money struggles and a lot of that stuff, like I don't remember, but my unconscious mind remembers. Yeah. And so she and I have been having more conversations and she was talking about recently how like she remembered when like we didn't have food and like there was like no food and she remembered being really hungry and, you know, eating rice and eggs. And I mean, so it was like extreme poverty levels. And once I started to get into like first grade, second grade, even kindergarten, like my parents' money situation was more stable, but it wasn't great. And then as I got older, my mom was like super like high achiever. Like she got her degree when she was in her 40s. She got her master's in her 50s. And so by the time like she was ending her career, she was like at her best salary ever. And like she was like making money and super generous. And so I really like watched that evolution from like super poverty to like successful businesswoman. So that's kind of that, but those early memories that I, you know, that my unconscious mind remembers, yeah. I see that those played out a lot in my business journey of, you know, just the highs and the lows and the, you know, the what do they call it? Like feast or famine kind of thing. And that's right. What my sister described that my parents dealt with a lot. And that's actually just something that came into my awareness like in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I was going to ask you like, what were some of the techniques that you used to do some healing around the feast and famine stuff, but maybe you haven't even fully done that yet.
Yeah, actually, well, I am. So I'm one of those people, like I totally believe that when the unconscious becomes conscious, like that's when it's time to heal.
Yes, Same.
So I'm constantly receiving new information, guidance, direction. And so with the Feast and Famine, one thing that I was able to, like a resource or tool, was I don't know if you've read the book, Who Ate My Cheese or Who Moved the Cheese?
No.
Okay, so it's this book. It's really short. I highly recommend it. But it's all about fear and change. Mm. And so what I started to see was that, like, I was not able to adapt to change. So let's say that I have, like, a really big peak in my business. And I know, okay, like, I've done this launch. You know, all this money is coming in. Great. Well, then I need to start kind of getting ready and setting myself up for, like, the next stage and that next thing when I know that, like, that influx of cash, you know, is whatever is gonna, I'm gonna need to, like, re-up or whatever. So seeing, like, oh, change, adaptability. So that's one thing that has been, like, come into my awareness of making a change. Other things that I do are, I've been doing Eckhart Tolle audios for, like, 6 or 8 months. Like, I pretty much listen to those constantly, his seminars, to just really empty my mind and be present. And that, so that's actually what's allowed a lot of the hidden stuff to kind of come up into the light and the surface. And then also I do The Science of Getting Rich. I went through a phase where I was listening. There's, like, a Bob Proctor, Mary Morrissey kind of, like, prescribed, you do chapters 4, 7, 11, and 14. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah. So it's like, those are kind of like the core chapters. And I did that a couple years ago. And so I started getting back on The Science of Getting Rich and just listening to that every day, just, like, all the way through. Mm-hmm. Because it's true that when we, like, impress our mind on formless substance, like, it comes to us.
Yes.
So those are some of the active tools that I'm using at this point. And then also Alpha Brainwave binaural beats kind of, like, reset. So it's definitely a deep, deep unconscious reprogramming. Mm,
I love that. And I'm curious, when you go in and you're working with sales teams, this is something that I've seen, not in the online business industry, although I think it's probably true there as well, which is there's the level of money mindset and worthiness work and embodiment work that the coach or the business owner has done.
Yeah.
And then there's the sales team, who are often young, and their idea of what a lot of money is really different. And so I'm curious how much, if any, work that you're doing with the sales team is around their own money mindset so that they're more aligned to selling those bigger offers.
So I would say that we do a lot more on the skill set side. Okay. My clients tend to be more on the manifestation, like, into that. And so they weave it in. But it is something, so it's not something that's, like, in my curriculum for working with sales teams at this given moment. I'm sure that it's going to unfold eventually. But I will say that what I've seen with my clients is that they will weave in, like, okay, here's your morning gratitude. And here's your, because my clients tend to be, they have a sales manager or they have a sales trainer that's kind of, like, working directly and training the team. And then I come in and I'm, like, you know, supporting, guiding. And so what I've seen is, like, do your gratitude and do this and do that. But there's usually a cap on what those reps can make because of what they've previously earned. So you'll get the person that, like, 60K a year is kind of, like, all they can do. So I have a client that she was like, I want somebody who was, like, a director at a, you know, a C-suite director that wants to come in and sell, and they made 200K a year in their business and they want to come do that in sales. And usually that's very rare that somebody's going to go do that. But, you know, I know that there are sales coaching programs now that they're bringing more of that money mindset into it, because it is so much of that identity shift that is required to be able to embody, you know, receiving more money.
Yeah. No, I was just curious because, I mean, back in the day, I worked at a company that sold test prep programs, like in-home tutoring. So we'd send a tutor to your house for to prep your kid for the SAT or the ACT or whatever. And, like, our like maximum package was, I don't know, it's like $3,600 or something like that. But anytime someone would just give me their credit card over the phone for that amount, I was like, wow, they are crazy. Like, I just, it did not, I didn't understand that it wasn't a lot of money. And mm-hmm. now I'm a parent and, you know, my kids aren't old enough to be doing that yet. But I'm like, oh yeah, we drop so much money all the time on stuff for our kids. Like, it's no big deal. But I feel like I never had that perspective then, yeah. and it would have been helpful.
Yeah. One thing that I'll say that really, I think that it's the value, because I mean, at the end of the day, when we invest in something, we're investing in that value and that potential that we see for ourselves. And something that I was super blessed to have from a very young age was I had music lessons. So despite like all the money stuff that happened, like my parents got me in with music lessons. I would say like late fourth grade, early fifth grade is when I started playing saxophone. That was my first instrument. And so I had a mentor or a coach or whatever, a music teacher all the way through high school. And then I went to undergrad and I had, you know, I had a private teacher. I went to grad school. I had a private teacher. So I always had like somebody by my side
yeah.
the whole time, guiding me, directing me. So when it came into coaching, it was like, of course you have a coach. Of course you like have, and even now I'm like, I have a sleep psychologist. I go to acupuncture. I'm going to get back into music. I'm like, if I want to do it, I need to get a teacher. I have a business yeah. coach. And so when, you know, people are going in and they're investing, like for me, I valued coaching. I valued that support. And so like, of course I'm going to invest in it, yeah. in that expertise. And so, you know, when we're looking at like asking for that sale, because I'm sure people that are listening, like ask for sales, is like just being so sold on what it is that you're selling. Like to me, that's like the secret sauce of an offer, is like, I have to want to buy it. And if I'm selling it, I have to want to buy it. And if I don't want to buy it, like I'm not going to be able to convince or, you know, convince myself to, you know, persuade and guide that conversation with someone else.
Right. Right. Yeah. I agree. It helps when there's so much alignment around, around what it is that you're selling. But again, to me, it sounds like maybe this hasn't been an issue, but it seems like maybe some of the people that are on the sales team wouldn't necessarily, like they might like the coach and they might like the offer, but could they imagine themselves spending whatever, 12 grand or 30 grand on the thing?
Well, that's going to be a misalignment. Yeah. It is, you know, it's going to be a misalignment because then they're projecting that money mindset onto yeah. the client, the prospective customer. And usually people that are like that are going to, they're going to struggle and they're going to be the lower performers on the team.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you talked about like trading time for money and mm-hmm. kind of switching from that model to really more of a model that values the transformation that you're providing.
Yeah.
Were there any aha moments that you had around that or any perspective shifts that you could share with the audience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that when I was doing the trading time for money, it was more about you come, your kid shows up, you get your lesson, you go home. And I was always the teacher that was like, you have to practice. Like, I only want to work with people that put in the work, that are going to follow through. And so when I got into working with adults and selling higher end coaching, it was more about the transformation, right? And it was about a curriculum that I designed. It wasn't, you know, somebody else's or, you know, teaching out of a book or whatever. It was like things that I put together. And things that I had learned from mentors that I thought could help someone with their journey differently. And so in working with adults, it was just like really seeing them have their ahas and those openings of like, oh my gosh, like I can do this, or, you know, whatever those breakthroughs were. So I just saw that, you know, the value of the service and the transformation was so much higher, and that when people put in more money, they show up for themselves differently. And I could tell there were certain clients, especially in my early coaching, where I was like, I'm not charging her enough. Like she would really be better served if I were charging her like four times the price. Like she would show up more for herself. She would show up differently. So I started to see how, you know, that money definitely like helps people show up more. But I will say also that there is kind of like a fine line that I've seen in kind of being in the high ticket world of like, where people kind of reach that point where the money, it, like whatever they're investing is also like bumping up against the limit that they tend to like, will drop down and be like, I can't do this. I can't, you know, and instead of like being called to like step up to a greater, you know, version of themselves, for lack of better words, they kind of drop down like, no, I can't do this. So I don't know if that came across. I don't know if that's something that you've seen, but it's just sort of like, there is sort of like a sweet spot for investing for people too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I don't do any sales calls or anything, but, mm-hmm. but I talk to, you know, just my audience on this podcast and wherever else, that it's learning about yourself and determining that right amount of stretch, because yeah. it shouldn't feel comfortable, because it you want to be doing something different. You want to elicit change. Yeah. So it should feel stretchy, but if it's so stretchy that in your heart of hearts, you can tell that your nervous system is going to be so freaked out about yes. how to pay that or how to then pay rent next month. It's like, you got to know yourself well enough. Like, oh, that's too much stretch. And when we put ourselves under that amount of like duress, then of course we're not going to actually show up well inside of that type of coaching container.
Yes. So well put. So well put. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm curious, along the same lines, what are some other mistakes that you see commonly made in high ticket sales, and what do you suggest doing instead?
Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is like the use of persuasion and curiosity. A lot of people, they really get fixed on, they go to learn from a guru. So there's a couple pieces. So the first is that they learn from a guru, they learn from a business coach, they kind of get like a sales model that they can use. Maybe they get it from a free challenge. I've seen people piecemeal their sales, you know, from all sorts of different places. That's almost a whole other thing. But they go and then they try to like show up as this guru. Like they try to like embody that other person that they learn from. And like, well, if I can sell like them, then maybe I'll close. And they're not authentic.
Right.
And then because they're not authentic, they're not persuasive. And they're not able to really connect with the heart of the person on the other line. And so I always suggest to my clients, like we customize their sales process to make sure that the words and the language that's used in the conversation, also in that, you know, the process kind of leading up to the call, that it's on brand, that it resonates with the client, and that then they're also making that offer in a way that is kind of honoring the client's buying style, like whether it's a one call or a two call. So you kind of have to know, based on how those conversations go, which, you know, which to lean on.
Yeah.
That would be one part, as like the cookie cutter. And then the other part is the persuasion of just being like so focused on yourself. Like, am I doing this right? And I have to show up a certain way, that you don't connect with that person who's on the other line. And so they don't really feel like you get them and you understand them. And it makes it much more difficult to close a sale.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you're going through that customization process, are you sort of customizing it just for the coach or the leader of the organization, or is there some level of customization that would happen at the level of each individual sales rep?
So it's definitely for the organization. Yeah. And because that's like, that's the company, sales reps are going to come and go, but it's definitely to match the brand itself and kind of like where they're heading.
Yeah.
And then the training and the nuance happens with the sales reps, because your reps are going to have different, people are going to have different strengths. And so you want to encourage them to, in the same way, to like be yourself and be natural, but then also like follow the process.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are you typically doing like a lot of auditing of sales calls in order to give feedback?
I listen to a lot of calls.
Yeah, I bet. So it sounds like the persuasion or following like the wrong kind of template are two of the big ones. But if you've already helped them customize their sales process, and maybe mm-hmm. there's a script of sorts that the rep is following, or just some sort of flow of conversation,
mm-hmm.
is there something that you'll hear when you audit those calls that's like makes you cringe? And is like a coaching moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it'll happen at the beginning of the call where they, you know, that the person leading the call just doesn't like really like set the tone and like land the authority or just take ownership of the call. So they'll lose control.
Yeah.
You know, dogs are barking in the background. The phone is pinging, you know, they're kind of in like a distracted environment. I had a client that for a while, there was like a series of calls where, she was like sounding like their girlfriend, like, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, and just kind of like two like girly friends. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So sometimes like call openings will be like, no. And then, when they go to make the offer or set up the offer, sometimes it's just like, they don't make the offer in a way that really like is showing that the person is, like how that's going to solve their problem. So you want to make sure that when you're saying, okay, if there's XYZ, you know, transformation in the program, that you're also pairing it to that problem that the person has just said right. that they're stuck with. And yeah. so when they don't do that, it kind of like the offer doesn't land and it falls. And then the person's like, okay, well, that's great. You know, let me go think about it and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was glad you said something about the opening. Cause yeah. one of my clients said she was recently on a sales call and she's like, all I asked was, how are you? And she's like, and that moment I lost control of the call. And yes. 30 minutes later, she's like, the person's been crying to me and telling me all this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So there's always permission to interrupt. And you just, you know, if anybody has that, you just kind of listen, okay. And then you just cut in. But yes, I mean, even what it, I think it's sometimes called like a data dump when the person just starts, you ask them a question and they just go, 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 and you completely lose control. And you never want to let a person go for longer than a couple sentences. Like as soon as you can see that train going, it's like stop it.
Yeah. Track. Like the train is leaving the station. Yes. Time to do something about
yes.
it.
Yes.
I love that. Well, that's where you're such a value to an organization because you can see those things and, you know, help make those coaching corrections.
Yes. And you can also tell too, like if somebody's not really coachable or if they're not a fit too, like if they're not super self-aware to see like, okay, like this person is here, like guiding the conversation and I'm just going to railroad the whole, you know, that's not even somebody that you may want to enroll right. into a program.
Yeah.
But there are those pieces that, you know, you could end the call quickly if the person just starts to go off.
Yeah. That's a good point too. Maybe that's a disqualifier as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, since we talk about money transparency on this podcast, I'd love to hear with all the money mindset work you've done and the growing of your business, like where you're at now financially and maybe where you're headed or some goals that you're working toward.
Yeah. So my business, I'm past six figures and next year, my goal for 2024 is to hit 200K. So I've landed around like 150K. And I'm like, it's good, but I want to get to the next level. For a long time, like 300K was my goal. And then I decided to, I set a whole new kind of like process for like allocations. And I was like, you know what? Like, this feels like really good. Like 16K a month, kind of like a standard. It feels good. It feels like the first goal that I like had that was like really rooted in reality. And so that's my goal for 2024. It could go up from there, but I'm super excited about it.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
And for anyone that's listening, you know, that wants to connect with you and hear more about sales strategy, or, you know, I know you have a podcast as well. Where are what are the best ways that they can get connected to you?
Yeah. So my show is called More Influence and Impact, and you can find that on podcasts. And it also live streams on Tuesdays and Thursdays on LinkedIn and Facebook and YouTube. And then I'm most active on LinkedIn. So Celia Faye Meisel is my LinkedIn name. And that's my jam. I recently went all in on LinkedIn. I love it. And then I do a live stream every Friday there that also gets, you know, shared a couple other places. And then my website is celiafaymeisel.com. So those are all the places you can connect, but I'm definitely most active on LinkedIn.
Amazing. I love that. So to everyone listening, go connect with Celia in all of those places, especially LinkedIn. And my last question for you is, can you describe what your joyous path to millions looks like?
So my joyous path to millions is doing tons of nature. Like my husband and I, we love to kayak. We just got bicycles. We hike. We love to go on adventures, and to just bring that energy and connection that we have with each other when we're out in nature into my business. And so the more that I do that, the more that I take that connection that I have with him and with nature, and just that, like, that freedom in my spirit and connection that I have with nature, and pour that into my business and a love for what I do, it just grows and grows and just is so much more fun. So that's my joyous path to millions.
Amazing. I love it so much. And it feels so true for you too, because I remember the last time we talked and you had just gotten back from a kayak adventure. Uh-huh. And today you told me, like, we're going to a drum circle tonight. Yes. Like, yes, your joyous path to millions is definitely nature influenced.
Yes. Yes, nature and connection, 100%. Like, and I would say too, like, relationships. I love connecting with people. I love heart-centered relationships and just really like understanding people, connecting with them at a deep level. That's my favorite.
Amazing. Celia, thank you so much for coming on the show. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you found that interview with Celia to be valuable. So please go give her a follow, go connect with her on LinkedIn and see how she's using that platform to grow her business. I know that's a growth edge for a lot of my clients, is that they want to show up more powerfully on LinkedIn. And so connecting with other powerful women can be a really helpful way to do that. And of course, we'd love to hear your takeaways from this episode. Here are mine. Number one, alignment is so important. If you're selling something that you wouldn't be super excited to buy, it's probably not going to land well. You're probably not going to be a super successful salesperson. Number two, subconscious reprogramming. I loved when Celia was talking about this feast and famine cycle that came up for her, and that's something that she witnessed in childhood. And her way of handling that was to do binaural beats to get into the subconscious mind and to listen to The Science of Getting Rich on replay, so that her subconscious mind is just soaking in all of the messages that she wants it to hear about money and stacking wealth. And then number three, getting the energetics right and knowing that when your energy is off, if you don't feel good about your pricing, about what you're offering, about the connection that you have to another person in the sales process, whether you're selling over the phone or in the DMs or even just through email or through a video sales letter, if you feel funky about that, it will come through and your potential client is going to feel that. So focusing on energetics and getting that right. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, and I will talk to you soon. Listeners like you have made this a top 3% global podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave a review. I also love hearing listener feedback, so feel free to slide into my DMs on Instagram at mmakesmoney. If you would like to explore hiring me as your money healer and business mentor, hit the link in the show notes or head to explore.emilywilcox.com. Until next time, I'm sending you all the magic money vibes on your joyous path to millions.